Welcome to Concord Matters, a show seeking for concord, agreement in Christian confession. Concord mattered to Jesus and Paul, and so it does to us also. Spend these next 60 minutes as we talk matters of concord. Concord Matters, a program produced by the Christ-centered leader in confessional broadcasting, worldwide KFUO, online at kfuo.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to Concord Matters here on this Tuesday, July 7th. We're coming to you live from the studios of KFUO here at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I am your host for today, Pastor Charles Henriksen. I'm the pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. And we are coming to you live now on Tuesdays from 2 to 3 Central Time. We flipped that around with our Saturday morning broadcast, so now our rebroadcast is on Saturdays from 10 to 11 Central, and all of our programs are archived at kfuo.org. Today we are towards the beginning of the Large Catechism. We're going to go to the shorter preface. There are two prefaces for the Large Catechism, and so we will be dealing with that today. And we invite your participation in our program. Our toll-free number across North America is 800-730-2727. Again, toll-free number, 800-730-2727. And locally here in St. Louis, our phone number is area code 314-821-0850. Again, 314-821-0850. We invite your comments or questions today on our program. You can also reach us by email. That's kfuo at kfuo.org. Our guests on the program are two in number, and they are on the phone, Pastor Alan Wollenberg of Concordia, Sikeston, Missouri, and Pastor Daniel Hinton, the Associate Pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'll start with you, Alan Wollenberg. Welcome to the program.
Charlie, hi. Thanks for letting me be on with you.
Very good. What's happening at Concordia Sikeston these days, this week?
Oh, brother, we are in the throes of Vacation Bible School.
Now, you make that sound ominous, Pastor. In the throes?
It is tiring, brother.
Yes.
But it is truly wonderful. 70 or 80 children from the community, little ones on up through fifth graders. What a joy to be able to teach the Word of God to them.
Very good, very good. Yes, it is a joy. And if people want to find out more about your church, Concordia Lutheran Church in Sikeston, Missouri, is there a website to which they could go?
You know, we don't have an active website these days, but we have been running most things through our Facebook page.
Okay, so the Facebook page would be what?
Concordia Lutheran Church and School, Sikeston, Missouri.
Sikeston, S-I-K-E-S-T-O-N?
T-O-N, yes.
Yes, very good.
Or as the robot voices do it, you know, Sikeston.
Yeah, Siri or whoever that is.
Right.
All right, well, Pastor Wollenberg, I'm glad that you're on our program today. And our other guest, coming all the way from the western states of America, is Pastor Daniel Hinton, and he is the Associate Pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. How much rain have you been getting out in Cheyenne, Pastor Hinton?
You know, ordinarily we get maybe 15 inches a year, but so far we're up to about 12 inches this year, so everything is lovely and green. It's wonderful, and it's about 55 degrees outside right now, so it's an outstanding summer.
Well, we have been getting so much rain here in St. Louis. I mean, the most I've seen since about 1993, and today, unusually, it's like around 70 degrees. Usually it's about 88 by this time of the year. So tell us what's going on at Trinity in Cheyenne.
Well, we have kind of the inverse schedule going on. Things are quiet around here for us because we have a school full-time throughout the year, you know, as most do, that breaks in the summer. And so whereas most of the year for us is like having VBS every week.
Yes.
It's kind of quiet around here, and it's very strange to have our halls, which are normally full of life and backpacks and children and noise, being very silent.
And if people want to find out more about Trinity in Cheyenne, is there a place on the internet where they could go?
Yes, TrinityCheyenne.org.
TrinityCheyenne.org. That's C-H-E-Y-E-N-N-E. Is that correct?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, today we're going into the short preface of the large catechism. Not the long preface of the small catechism, but the short preface of the large catechism. And let's just begin by talking about, we talk about the large catechism, which assumes there's a short one. Either one of you, let's start with Pastor Wohlenberg. What's sort of the background of these catechisms, and why are they in the Book of Concord? What is the Book of Concord, and why are these documents in there?
Well, if you have a while, we can answer all of that.
Sure.
The catechisms were Dr. Luther's response to, at least in some measure, his response to having visited many of the congregations in Saxony. And he had come to the realization that there were pastors who were woefully uneducated, and that there were many homes and parishes where parents simply weren't teaching their children the Christian faith. And so he had undertaken then to prepare the small and the large catechisms to teach, the small catechism to teach the children, and of course then the larger catechism to equip the parents and pastors and others so that they in turn could be teachers of the Christian faith. It's all included in the Book of Concord, of course, because it is considered a true exposition of the Word of God. And so it becomes a part of our Lutheran confession.
So these documents, the small and large catechism, which were not originally written per se as confessional documents like the Augsburg Confession, but they were included when the Book of Concord was compiled in 1580, even though they're not, strictly speaking, confessional documents. Pastor Hinton, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, these catechisms do have a little bit different tone than some of the other confessional documents. The Augsburg Confession, for example, is to present to the Pope and to the world, you know, what it is that we Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. And the catechisms do that too, but in a different way. These aren't really intended to be books that sit nicely on a shelf and collect dust. These are books that are meant to get worn and used, not just in church, but in fact in the homes. Luther is insistent, even in the short preface here of the large catechism, that this be taught by the fathers of the family, that the catechesis, that is the teaching of the young, is something that happens from the earliest ages, but never ends. Even Luther himself, in the longer preface of the large catechism, mentions the fact that he himself, who is writing the catechisms, is still learning from them. And so this process continues on, and it's designed then to be an instructional tool rather than just a presentation in a formulaic or systematic way to the greater church and to the world.
So even though the small catechism is written, as Pastor Wohlenberg said, primarily for the children, what Luther would say is that we never outgrow the catechism. What does he mean by the catechism in that sense, Pastor Wohlenberg?
Well, he means it as a tool for instruction. In fact, he says in the short preface here, therefore, in ancient times, it was called in Greek catechism, and then the parenthetical thought, that is, instruction for children. But he intends it, yes, to be for everybody to use and to everybody, for everyone to learn.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, just reading through it again before the program and glancing at it, I just get a kick out of Luther. For I well remember the time, indeed now, even now it happens daily, that one finds rude old persons who knew nothing and still know nothing about these things.
Yeah.
As he talks about Christian doctrine. Well, That's just another way of saying there's no fool like an old fool, it seems to me.
Yeah, and really it's the longer preface, which we covered the last couple of weeks, where he goes on a typical Luther rant about the lazy bellies and everybody thinks they know better than the catechism and so on. We're not going to go through the whole longer preface again, but let me just read a sample of that that'll set the stage then for when we get now into the short preface. I'm looking at the longer preface, just parts of paragraph 5 and paragraph 7, where he says, many see the catechism as a poor common teaching, which they can read through once and immediately understand, and then paragraph 7, but for myself, I say this, I am also a doctor, he means a doctor of theology, and preacher, yes, as learned and experienced as all the people who have such assumptions and contentment. Yet I act as a child who is being taught the catechism. Every morning and whenever I have time, I read and say word for word the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Psalms, and such. I must still read and study them daily, yet I cannot master the catechism as I wish, but I must remain a child and pupil of the catechism and glad to remain so. Now, Pastor Hinton, I am assuming that by the time Luther writes this in 1529, let's see, he would be, what, about 40 in his mid-late 40s by then? Mm-hmm. I think he knew the words of the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. What does he mean that I can't master them ever?
Oh, man, this is a great question. Our school that we have is a classical school that we have here, and what that means is that we take from the wisdom of the ancients, and we read great literature, and we have a very very systematic way in which we teach. And one of the things that we learn, and we teach Latin here, so we memorize it in Latin, is repetitio est mater memoriae, which is repetition is the mother of memory, and that is that. By repetition, one gets things stuck in his mind that never really depart from them. But the thing is your learning doesn't stop at just the mere recollection of the words themselves. I mean, we as adults, how many times have you or I or even older folk prayed the Lord's Prayer, and yet when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we devote our attention to it, I mean, we can mindlessly recite the words of the Lord's Prayer, of course, and we're all guilty of that. But when we speak the words of the Lord's Prayer and devote our attention to them, how many times has it occurred to us some new thought that hadn't really occurred to us just from the words themselves? And in this way, we learn and we grow, and our faith is deepened and strengthened just by those words themselves. I mean, that's what the Word of God does to faith. Faith is created by the Word, but also strengthened and fortified and deepened and enriched by the Word. And so these words that are some of the most central words for the Christian faith, that either the Lord's Prayer, which is straight from the mouth of our Lord Jesus, or the Creed, which is a summary of the Word of God, will also do that work of deepening and enriching our faith, and that doesn't stop. But when one becomes even a doctor of the church, like the blessed reformer Dr. Luther, and if it's true for him, surely it's true for lesser beings like me.
Yeah. So even though we know the words of the catechism, and by this he means what we would call the primary texts themselves, not the explanations of the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, we can always grow in our understanding of the depth of this by our study of other scripture. And Pastor Wohlenberg, even for an old man like you,
thank you.
I say this because we are the same age. You are bringing new life experiences. The texts don't change, but you're bringing new experiences. How does forgive those who trespass against us? How does that apply now in my life this week? You want to comment on that?
Sure. That petition in particular is such a difficult thing to actually do. If you see it as a law, you know, forgive me as I forgive others, becomes a burden, an extraordinary burden to the person who doesn't understand what God's saying there. As you have been forgiven, so you forgive others. And that means freely. All these things that pick away at you, that gnaw at you, that annoy you about everybody else because they aren't as good as you are, that becomes unimportant every time that you pray, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Those kids are supposed to be helping with Vacation Bible School, and they're just running around all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't become the most important thing in the world, you know. Or the person who disagrees with you at a meeting, it doesn't become such a deadly thing that you can't forgive them. You do forgive. It becomes an attitude. It changes, ideally, the way that you think.
What you're getting at, Pastor Wallenberg, with these examples is that the catechism is not just a junior dogmatics textbook to learn some answers like Trivial Pursuit so you can get confirmed, but this is really a handbook for daily living throughout our life.
Well, absolutely. And it colors the way that you think about everything. Because you're being instructed by the Word of God. And as we know, the Word of God itself is efficacious. It has the power to effect something in us.
Very good. Now let's get into the short preface itself. We're using the Reader's Edition of the Book of Concord, which is available through Concordia Publishing House. And so we're using that translation here. But if you have a similar translation, it'll be close enough. Or if you go on the internet to, I think it's bookofconcord.org, it will be very close in the translation. So I'm going to read a little bit here, and then I'm going to ask our guests here for their comments on this. And also, we do welcome your questions again. Let me start with the first paragraph here in the short preface. And Luther here talks about the Large Catechism, and he says, this sermon, he's calling the Large Catechism a sermon, mm-hmm. is designed and undertaken to be an instruction for children and the simple folk. Therefore, in ancient times, it was called in Greek catechism, that is, instruction for children. Pastor Hinton, anything about the Greek word behind our word catechism?
Well, I mean, a catechism just implies an instruction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world catechizes. They don't ever use that word, of course, because it has more than two syllables. But the world catechizes, and it does it sometimes through insidious means of the reinforcement of certain values and the repetition of certain turns of phrase or images or pearls of wisdom or anti-wisdom, as it should be. And the church catechizes also. Our catechism is, however, very intentional. And we steer our children toward the light rather than toward the darkness. We cultivate in them wisdom by means of this catechism, and the implication is instruction for children. But the thing is our Lord actually calls us to receive his words as children. In fact, he even tells us that unless we become like this little one, when he sets a little one in the midst of the disciples, that we can't enter the kingdom of heaven, in which case we'd never depart from that then, and we continue learning as children learn, and we continue appreciating the Christian faith even as we might mature in age. We still receive this as children do.
And in the very narrow sense of this Greek word, catechism, comes from two words, kata, which means like back and forth, and then the echo, mm-hmm. you know, it's like an echoing back and forth. And that gets to the format of mm-hmm. the small catechism in particular. How is the small catechism, Pastor Wallenberg, a true catechism in sort of this echoing back format?
It is simple questions, and it is simple, straightforward answers. You ask the simple question, who is God? And you get the answer back that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And of course, then comes along with it the proof texts that show us where in the scriptures we find these teachings. Straightforward answers.
So Luther will quote whatever it is he's treating, whether it's a commandment of the Ten Commandments or a petition of the Lord's Prayer, or, you know, and then he'll say, like, what does this mean? Was ist das? And he'll give a little explanatory short paragraph, and then he'll ask, where is this written? You know, if it's about baptism or so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's this back and forth questioning format.
In fact, I sometimes tell the youth here who I'm privileged to be able to try to instruct, that some of the questions that Luther asks, we ask with perhaps a slightly different emphasis. We live in the South, where there are many Christians who deny the efficaciousness of baptism. They deny its meaning. So we ask the questions rather sarcastically and find that Luther is answering, you know, what is baptism? Oh, yeah. Well, where is this written, huh? And what? You know, what? Where does baptism get this great power? You know, and so
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see how it works that way.
Yes. All right. Going on then, paragraph 2 and 3, he's talking about the catechism. It teaches what every Christian must know. So a person who does not know this catechism could not be counted as a Christian or be admitted to any sacrament, just as a mechanic who does not understand the rules and customs of his trade is expelled and considered incapable. Therefore, we must have the young learn well and fluently the parts of the catechism or instruction for children, diligently exercise themselves in them, and keep them busy with these parts. Pastor Hinton, how is this sort of like learning your ABCs?
Yeah, it's considered the beginning of the knowledge of the Christian faith, but by no means is it the end either. I mean, Luther, on the one hand, he doesn't depart from learning the catechism, but on the other hand, he's quite learned in some of the more advanced things of the faith as well.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, can one even be considered a Christian who doesn't know what the Ten Commandments are? Can one possibly be considered a Christian who doesn't know what baptism is? And these sound, to modern ears, like very harsh things to say because they sound very exclusive, but at the same time, look at Luther's analogy here. You know, a mechanic who doesn't understand even the basic rules and customs of his trade is expelled and considered incapable. So to say nothing of the advanced masterwork of whatever his trade might be, if he doesn't understand the basic rules, he really can't be considered a practitioner of that trade. Well, if we're to consider ourselves Christians, it's incumbent upon us to know the basics of the Christian faith. Now, we all have different capacities for learning, that's true.
Yeah.
And some people, I mean, Luther even mentions the simple-minded who may never progress beyond the small catechism. That's okay. Or even the large catechism. It's okay. And you know, certain people will struggle even to learn some of the basic parts of this. But this is the instruction that's to be used with the young and the simple. And for that reason, then, if a person considers himself a Christian but doesn't even understand these things, we have to ask such a person, how could you consider yourself a Christian then?
Yeah, and I want to come back to this. He has here about a person who does not know this catechism could not be admitted to the sacrament. And we'll come back to that just in a moment.
Well,
so start thinking about that. Well, Pastor Wallenberg, you wanted to add something on that.
How unlike that thinking is from the predominant thinking in American evangelicalism these days, or for that matter, in the whole American culture, that I'll believe what I decide I want to believe,
mm-hmm.
and you decide what you want to believe, and we'll both just be happy that we believe something.
Yeah, the catechism is saying there is objective truth from God's word that you need to know and believe.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Let me continue here a little bit here. Paragraph 4. Therefore, it is the duty of every father of a family, and Pastor Hinton, I think, or one of you said about the head of the household, his responsibility to teach the family. Therefore, it is the duty of every father of a family to question and examine his children and servants at least once a week and see what they know or are learning from the catechism. And if they do not know the catechism, he should keep them learning it faithfully. Pastors, I thought it was the pastor's job to teach the catechism so the mom and the dad can have a break here. And this seems to be saying that the parents, especially the father, has a role in this. Who wants to comment on that?
I will.
Go ahead.
That we think such a thing is an indictment of the poverty of the Lutheran Church or the church in general among our people. That should not be that way at all. Luther's words here convict all of us fathers, of course, but especially those who are so lazy as not to teach the faith at all, or worse, to think, I don't have to teach the faith because I give money to the church for a pastor to teach the faith. That's nuts.
Yes.
I don't farm out my teaching of hygiene or etiquette or work ethic or anything else to somebody else. I mean, I have five children, four of whom are born, one will be in March, but I don't farm out those responsibilities to somebody else. Why on earth would I do that with the faith? I mean,
yes.
That's part of my charge as a father. And if you have the Triglotta, I have this giant green tome in front of me, which I've come to really love. The German word here is Hausvater, Hausfather, or the Latin here, paterfamilias. It's in a different case, but the root is paterfamilias, the father of the family. It's unmistakable.
Yes.
Luther's intent, and he's drawing this from clear back as far as Exodus, we find this charge given to fathers.
Yeah, we'll come back to this in a moment. We need to take a break now. You're listening to Concord Matters here on KFUO.
On the next broadcast of Ruminations Tuesday, with the help of our friend, the Reverend Mark Smith, we will be examining the hymn, Jesus, Priceless Treasure. Now, why do we do that? We're encouraging you to take a look at the hymn of the day for your children, because there are some words that need explaining.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
The book of Matthew tells us that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This July, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod focuses on ways we Lutherans serve each other and the world. See for yourself how Christ sets us free to love and serve our neighbor by visiting lcms.org/themes. That's lcms.org/themes.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church every night. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer or Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for 90 years.
The Lutheran Study Bible you know and love is now available in a compact paperback edition. Weighing in at a slim 2.1 pounds, the newest edition is a compact powerhouse, the same great content of the original Lutheran Study Bible. It's a perfect fit for gift giving, outreach, youth ministry, and more. The Lutheran Study Bible paperback edition, available at cph.org, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, cph.org.
This is Pastor Herb Miller, First Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every aspect of our teaching is designed to bring comfort to penitent sinners, that is, people who are hurt and broken by sin and death and all the vicissitudes of this life. KFUO is centered around bringing this gospel into the lives of our listeners in the St. Louis area, and by means of the internet, far beyond. My wife and I, for years, have been day sponsors. Our day is June 21st. Actually, this year, we're celebrating 40 years of marriage on that day. KFUO brings the gospel into the hearts and minds and lives of so many people here and around the world.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We are excited to walk alongside Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members and ministries as they witness and perform works of mercy and compassion around the world. Investments with LCEF provide the exceptional financial resources used daily to build faith communities and serve God's people. Our loans and ministry support services are available to LCMS congregations, schools, and organizations, as well as rostered church workers. Visit LCEF today.
Worldwide KFUO would like to invite you to start and end your day with prayer. At 9 a.m., join us for morning prayer as we look into the Word of God, we pray, and sing sacred music. At 6 p.m., we gather for evening prayer once again as we hear the Word of God, pray, and rejoice in His gift of music. Lift up your heart to heaven with Worldwide KFUO.
We are back on Concord Matters. We're looking at the short preface of the Large Catechism today. We invite your participation again, toll free, 800-730-2727. And locally here in St. Louis, area code 314-821-0850. And you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. I'm your host, Pastor Charles Henriksen of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. And our guests today are Pastor Alan Wollenberg of Concordia Lutheran Church in Sikeston, Missouri, and Pastor Daniel Hinton of Trinity Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We've just gone through four paragraphs of the short preface. Now, we'll move on to paragraph five, where it says, go ahead. Alan, did you want to add something on this about the Father?
Well, I'm sorry, Charles, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. Please. No, just please.
You know, I've often said in confirmation, Sunday sermons, you know, that sort of thing, that what the church teaches today and what the children are confirmed with today is what the church is going to believe in about 30 years, mm-hmm. if not sooner. And then during the break, I just happened across an email, meet the first trans pastor officially ordained by the ELCA. Oh. And, you know, I see the constant decline, if you will, of Christian morality and of Christian teaching. Where do we think that came from? That didn't happen all of a sudden. It came from poor catechesis.
True. And because our children, all of us, are getting influence from our culture, I should say exfluence or whatever, some fluence, flatulence, from our culture 24/7, and we're trying to combat that and overcome that with the Word of God, but we're severely outnumbered the messages that people are receiving.
Yeah, sure. The world gets to preach to us 7 days a week, 6 days a week, however you want to say it, and we give the Word of God at best an hour, sometimes at best an hour on Sunday mornings, and then we complain that it's too much.
Yeah. So catechesis is
our place close to equal time.
Yeah, our catechesis in our instruction in the catechism and our daily return to the catechism in the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, the Creed. You know, this is our opportunity to combat the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Luther brings that out in the longer preface as well. All right, if I could, let's go on here. Paragraph five. For I well remember the time, indeed, even now it happens daily, that one finds rude old persons who knew nothing and still know nothing about these things. Yet they go to baptism and the Lord's Supper and use everything belonging to Christians, even though people who come to the Lord's Supper ought to know more and have a fuller understanding of all Christian doctrine than children and new scholars. Let me pause right there. He's saying that people who come to the Lord's Supper ought to have a fuller understanding of all Christian doctrine. And earlier in this section, he had talked about that a person who doesn't know the catechism should not be admitted to the sacrament. Now, I know there is this, what we call early confirmation or early communion, but in my experience as a pastor, what you need to know to go to the sacrament of the altar, basically, you need to know the other parts of the catechism as well. For example, if we say in the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar, it is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, well, you need to have some understanding who this Lord Jesus Christ is, which based on the second article of the Creed, or when it says given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, well, how do you know what sins are unless you know the law, the Ten Commandments? Pastor Hinton and then Pastor Wollenberg, you want to comment on this understanding of Christian doctrine to go to the sacrament?
Yeah, that's always been kind of an interesting discussion in the church, especially recently with, I mean, what else could we call it but perhaps the great American apostasy, where so many are just kind of fleeing the faith, even if not with their feet, at least with their minds. And the question is, what do we do with confirmation? What do we do with communion when really a number of fathers are not doing their job in terms of handing over the faith to the next generation? We have to be very careful on the one hand, because you know what makes one worthy for reception of the sacrament, as we find in the formula, is faith. But on the other hand, we have to balance that against our Lord's words against receiving the sacrament to our judgment in 1 Corinthians 11:29. And so the way that we Lutherans have struck this balance is explicated here in the Large Catechism, where one should know the faith at a basic level before being admitted to the sacrament. And that's why we have instruction of some kind prior to reception of the sacrament. And so if there is to be an early communion, whatever, however that's defined, surely it ought to include more than simply instruction in the sacrament proper, but as you said, who is this Jesus? What are sins? What does it mean that sins are forgiven? You know, and we say in the Small Catechism that the one is who is truly worthy and well prepared is he who has faith in these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, and that takes an amount of reflection and study and catechesis. And so we do well to make sure that whoever we admit to the sacrament at whatever age is catechized in the faith.
Now I know that there's no law that says a person cannot receive communion before age 14. You know, that comes out of pietism, I think. And I think people can be communed as soon as they basically know basic law and God, as soon as they know the catechism, and that instruction should really begin at infancy, at baptism. So we could commune people earlier than 13 or 14, I'm sure of that, with the proper instruction. But Pastor Wollenberg, do you want to add anything on this, knowing something about all the parts of the catechism before you take communion?
Well, I was just going to ask Pastor Hinton, what do you tell your students who say, why do I have to go through this stuff? I mean, I know what I tell them.
Pastor Hinton.
That's actually not a question I've gotten terribly often, believe it or not. But when I do get that, I suppose the answer has to do with, well, what does your Lord say happens here? You know, and are you a sinner? Do you need the forgiveness of sins? Apart from the forgiveness of sins, are you bound for hell? I mean, these aren't just kind of philosophical sorts of things. There's a reality here. There is a judgment. There is a last day coming. The Lord will return to bring the church with him unto an eternal joy in the resurrection of the body. And the question is, do you want to be part of that?
All right.
Yeah. Yes. And one of the things that I answer is students who, perennially they ask the question, you know, why do I have to do all this stuff, is to say it is, well, I am charged to help you be ready to receive the sacrament in a worthy manner, in a properly prepared way. And so I have to obey the Lord's command to make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them to observe.
Yes.
All these things, you know. So, youngster, it's not that I'm against you. It's not that I'm trying to make your life miserable. I'm just trying to make you ready.
And that's what I say to visitors or people who are not yet instructed in the faith. You know, maybe they're not confirmed Lutherans yet. I'm not asking anything of you that I don't ask of my own members. I want you to be well prepared. We would love for you to commune here, but we want you to make sure we're on the same page and that you've been properly instructed.
And we long to commune with you,
yes,
friend. We
yes.
long to commune with you. Let's just get our ducks in a row.
Yes. All right, let's go on here. Paragraph 6. However, he's talked about wishing that everybody could have a fuller understanding of all doctrine. But then he says, however, for the common people, we are satisfied if they know the three parts. And we'll talk about that in a moment. The three parts. These have remained in Christendom from of old, though little of them has been taught and used correctly, until both young and old, who are called Christians and wish to be so, are well trained in them and familiar with them. These parts are the following, and then he's going to lay them out. What does he mean here by these, Pastor Hinton, these three parts that have remained in Christendom from of old?
Well, that would be the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer.
So you mean Luther didn't come up with these all out of the blue?
No, I mean, two of these are right out of the Bible, and the other one has been in the church almost as long as there's been a New Testament church.
So what he's saying here is that I'm not coming up with anything new here. These three parts, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, have been basics in Christian instruction since really the beginning of the church. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
All right.
They're practically the minimum.
Yeah. Why these three parts, Pastor Wallenberg? Why these three singled out?
Well, the Ten Commandments, so that we will see our sins.
All right.
And learn to confess them. The Apostles' Creed, of course, so that we will know who this God is and what the great payment for sin is. The great love of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And, of course, then the Lord's Prayer, so that I may speak to this God, so that I know how He wants me to pray to Him.
So the Ten Commandments and the Creed are basically what we call law and gospel, to
Absolutely.
Know our need and to know how God has met our need, to show our sins, to show our Savior, and the Lord's Prayer then, to lean on God as we go through this world and this life, for our daily living. How do you understand it, Pastor Hinton?
There's kind of an order to it. It's incredibly orderly the way Luther lays things out, and that has that's due in no small part to Luther's classical training. That as exactly as Pastor Wallenberg mentioned, that there's a movement first. What does God expect of us? You know, and it convicts us of sins. You know, it tells you exactly who you are before God.
Mm-hmm.
Then tells you what God has done for you. And then finally, as the most basic act of faith, how do you pray? How do you pray to this God? How do you come to Him and ask for what you need for your bodily life and your spiritual life both?
Now, we're going to take each one of these parts in great depth over the many weeks to come, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer. But since they're in the Large Catechism laid out right here in the preface, I'm going to quickly read through them. And then in the weeks to come, we will take each one of these in great detail. But for right now, just to give us an overview, I'm going to read them from the preface itself. First, God's Ten Commandments. 1, you shall have no other gods. 2, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. 3, you shall sanctify the holy day. 4, you shall honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth. 5, you shall not murder. 6, you shall not commit adultery. 7, you shall not steal. 8, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. 9, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his cattle, or anything that is his. Then second, the chief articles of our faith. 1, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. 2, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. 3, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Then the third...
May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
At that point... In this Apostles' Creed, is this a the Reader's Edition change, or is this actually the way that Luther wrote it in his shorter preface? The Holy Christian Church rather than
Well, that's a good question. I know what you're referring to. I believe even before Luther that they were using the word Christliche instead of Katholisch. Pastor Hinton, are you aware of when that occurred? I believe this was before 1529 that they were already saying Christliche.
When? I don't know, but what's interesting is in the in what he wrote in German, it's eine heilige christliche Kirche.
Yeah.
And yet in the Latin, it's Sanctum Ecclesiam Catholicam.
All right.
You got both.
You got both. Yeah, but the use of christliche, Christian, instead of Catholic, was used even in the time of Luther and maybe before, just to clarify. Now, it properly understood, we can understand the word Catholic in the true sense, and we even have that in our translation of the Athanasian Creed. But I believe, as you're quoting there from the Triglotta, that the German apparently has Christliche and the Latin has Catholica. But be that as it may, we'll take that up. We will take that up, I guarantee you, whoever's hosting on that day of, when we get to that in about 5 years, I think, when we get to that in the Apostles' Creed. But let me continue here with the third part here. Third, the prayer, or Our Father, which Christ taught. Our Father who art in heaven, one, hallowed be thy name. Two, thy kingdom come. Three, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Four, give us this day our daily bread. Five, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Six, and lead us not into temptation. Seven, but deliver us from evil. And then in brackets, which means it's not in the original text, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And then amen. So there he lays out the first three chief parts of traditional Christian catechism teaching, and we're going to take up each one of those in great detail over the months to come. But then now moving on to his preface, paragraph 15, he says, these are the most necessary parts of Christian teaching that one should first learn to repeat word for word. Gentlemen, this is outrageous. He's expecting these kids to memorize these things? How awful is that?
Verbatim.
Verbatim.
Well, thankfully I was sitting down or I would have fainted, you know. terrible, right? But you know, what's
a travesty?
My children, before they were two, could say the creed.
Yeah.
It's actually not that difficult. Children... we adults are the ones who have trouble memorizing. Children are born to memorize, and anyone who's tried to get young children to memorize can see that they memorize faster than we do. Their brains are made for it.
Yes.
Strike while the iron's hot. Teach your kids to memorize things early. And this, more than anything, these are the most basic articles of the Christian faith, these three things. They're easy. They're broken into parts. There's a bit of a rhythm to them.
Yeah.
We know them fairly well, ourselves as adults. It's the perfect thing to teach your children first off the bat.
And these are what we call the primary text. It's not all the what does this mean or where is this written, which we should learn also, but these are just the primary texts of the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. We should certainly learn more than that, even by heart. But these things, these are the most basic. I think everybody in our congregation knows the Lord's Prayer by heart, and a lot of them probably know the Apostles' Creed, and it's not that hard to learn the Ten Commandments just in a row. Pastor Wohlenberg, you want to add something to that?
Not really.
Good.
I mean, it's just that straightforward.
Yes.
Just that straightforward.
It's like learning the scales on the piano before you can play jazz, you know? It's just the basic starting point.
Yeah. When you get it there, I really don't need to comment more on it.
Good.
Amen.
Amen. Paragraph 16. And our children should be used to reciting them daily, not just when you show up for confirmation class, reciting them daily when they rise in the morning, when they sit down to their meals, and when they go to bed at night. Now, Pastor Hinton, that sounds very familiar. It sounds like something I've read in the Bible. to learn these things when you rise in the morning, your children, when they sit down at their meals, when they go to bed at night, is, I think Luther's basically paraphrasing something from Scripture here, isn't he?
Totally, from Exodus.
Well, and Deuteronomy, especially, I think. I mean, you get the concept
really.
In Exodus. But I think this is pretty much a paraphrase of Deuteronomy chapter six, I believe it is.
It's six, yes.
Yeah. Alan, you want to say something about that?
No, I was just affirming that it's Deuteronomy 6.
Verse 7.
Where Moses speaks to Israel, yeah.
He says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." And, you know, Luther put that into the small catechism, didn't he, Pastor Hinton? There's a section beyond the chief parts, beyond the six chief parts in the small catechism, where he has people reciting the Ten Commandments and the Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Where would we find that in the small catechism on a daily basis?
I'm sorry?
I believe Luther put that into the small catechism. Where we would recite the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer every day.
Oh, yeah. Luther says when you rise in the morning and again when you go to bed.
Yeah, sure.
The daily. I'm thinking of the daily prayers
in
the small catechism, where even in the morning you're reciting the Ten Commandments, and then every day, and also at the meals, the Creed and the Lord's Prayer, too. Good. All right. And then Luther goes on. We've just got a few minutes here, but let's go a little further. And until now, I want to ask you guys if you've actually done this. I've yet to meet anyone who's actually followed what Luther says here in paragraph 17. And until they repeat them, they should not be given food or drink. Likewise, every head of a household is bound to do the same with his household, manservants and maidservants. He should not keep them in his house if they do not know these things or are unwilling to learn them. A person who is so rude and unruly as to be unwilling to learn these things is not to be tolerated. Now, gentlemen, let me ask you very honestly, have you done this, of deprive your children of food if they don't recite the catechism?
Yes.
You have?
This is the perils of being the child of a pastor. I've never actually had to deprive my children, but I have mentioned to them as they're memorizing the catechism, you know what Luther said about a child who doesn't learn the catechism when they say, oh, this one's long or this one's hard or I can't do this. You know what Luther said of a child who wouldn't learn the catechism? I shouldn't even be feeding you. But you know, I use it as kind of a shock to my children.
Yeah.
But maybe. There's a reality there that totally runs against everything that Americans are taught, and that is most Americans don't have much of a problem with the second table of the law.
Yeah.
That is the law that deals with how we relate to one another. But we Christians ought to give a special consideration to the first table of the law, that is to keep the Lord God as our God, to keep his name holy, to sanctify the holy day.
Pastor Hinton, we've only got less than a minute left.
My apologies.
No, you wouldn't be able to know that. So, but we could at least deprive them maybe of their Xbox for a while. Let me just close with paragraph 18 or 19 here as we're closing out this section. For in these three parts, everything that we have in the Scriptures is included in short, plain, and simple terms. For the holy fathers or apostles, whoever first taught these things, have summarized the doctrine, life, wisdom, and art of Christians this way. These parts speak, teach, and are focused on them. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us on the program today. Luther says here that the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer are a good summary of the basics of the Christian faith. We'll pick it up next time on Concord Matters, picking up with the sacraments. Thanks for being with us today.
Pleasure. Thank you.